Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for business women who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear our word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. You know, it was back in 1985, and songwriter Julie Gold found herself working as a secretary at HBO and writing songs, her true passion, in her spare time. She had been writing for a number of years, but she hadn't had a hit. Julie had moved away from home, and she was struggling to keep her bills paid from month to month on her small salary. She was discouraged, not knowing if songwriting was really worth it. Well, one day, in a call with her parents, they generously offered to ship her childhood piano to her. Oh, she was so happy to have her old friend, as she called her piano, with her. At just a day after the piano arrived, she sat down at the keys and within 2 hours wrote the song that would change everything for her. A few months later, that song made its way to Bette Midler's attention, and she recorded it. And in 1991, it became the song of the year. Perhaps you've heard of it, called From a Distance. We know the lyrics from the chorus. God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. Those lyrics became the focus of controversy. Now, though Julie Gold herself has said she believes in an imminent and beneficent God, Christians reject a God who is distant and instead point to the biblical truth of God being with us. He is Emmanuel. As lovely as a song may sound, it doesn't change the truth that God is with us. He is as near as our next breath. He is not detached, and He is certainly not distant. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You know, that foundational truth is what sustains us when we face challenges and difficulties, when we face stresses and worries. That truth that God is with us, that the Lord is near, as Paul writes in Philippians 4:5, is what helps us when anxiety threatens to overwhelm us. It's how, as our author of our study, Anxious for Nothing, Max Lucado, wrote, we become contagiously calm people. I love the thought of that. Contagiously calm. As Max Lucado writes in his book on page 69, he writes this, and how many disasters have been averted because one person refused to buckle under the strain? It is this composure Paul is summoning in the first of a triad of proclamations. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. In Philippians 4, 5, and 6. He goes on to write this at the bottom of 69. The contagiously calm person is the one who reminds others God is in control. This is the executive who tells the company, let's all do our part. We'll be okay. This is the leader who sees the challenge, acknowledges it, and observes, these are tough times, but we'll get through them. He goes on to write, gentleness. Where do we quarry this gem? How can you and I keep our hands away from the trigger? How can we keep our heads when everyone else is losing theirs? We plumb the depths of the second phrase, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord is near, he writes. You are not alone. You may feel alone. You may think you're alone. But there is never a moment in which you face life without help. God is near. Hear that again. There is never a moment in which you face life without help. God is near. Write that on a post-it note and put it on your bathroom mirror, on your computer, in your car. The Lord is near. You are not alone. Be anxious for nothing. You know, it's one thing to say that out loud on a prayer call, such as this, or as you're having your devotionals, but what about when God tests us with a challenge, a problem, a cause for stress? Do we remember then that He is with us? And do we turn to Him for His help then? Oh, I know, we so want to. But just like the disciples did one day, when Jesus tested their faith, you'll remember He was teaching a large crowd who had followed Him outside of town. In our book study, our author Max Licato reminded us of this incident when thousands of people who had been listening to Jesus teach now found themselves hungry and without food, and they were away from home. Well, God in the flesh was standing right there, right next to the disciples. They could have turned to Him for help. But instead, they acted the way that, well, I probably would have, maybe you too, and they tried to initially fix it themselves. You see, they saw tens of thousands of people sitting there in front of them, and they're thinking, oh goodness, it's past dinner time. So they say to the Savior, send them home. Just send them home so they can get their own food. But Jesus, no, not one to give up on an opportunity for a lesson, countered them in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 in verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to Him, to Jesus, and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. They do not need to go away, He said. You give them something to eat. Whoa, wait, what? There are 10,000 people or more. And there are 12 disciples. How are they going to... Well, they argue the point with Jesus, of course, as you know. But then, well, He does what He does. He is Jesus. And He supplies the need. You know, we've all had our moments of trying to fix it ourselves instead of turning to God to ask for help. It might be a challenge with a coworker that you're experiencing. Or it might be the doubt you have as you're looking at your direct sales calendar as you head into the summer. Or maybe it's a concern with a family member. Or a problem with the car again. How often do we forget that God stands ready to help? As our author writes in our study on page 74, at the bottom of the page, he writes, on one hand, you have a problem. On the other, you have a limited quantity of wisdom and energy and patience or time. What you have is nowhere near what you need. You have a thimbleful, and you need bucket loads. Typically, you'd get anxious. You'd tell God to send the problem packing. You've given me too much to handle, Jesus, you might say. But this time, instead of starting with what you have, start with Jesus. Start with His wealth, His resources, His strengths. Before you open the ledger, open your heart. Before you count coins or count heads, count the number of times Jesus has helped you face the impossible. Before you lash out in fear, look up in faith. Take a moment. Turn to your Father for help. You know, we can become contagiously calm people when we remember our Father stands ready to help. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and He wants us to turn to Him. As our author closes on page 76, he writes this, this business of anxiety management is like pulling stumps out of the ground. Some of your worries have deep root systems. Extracting them is hard, hard work. In fact, it may be the toughest challenge of all. But you don't have to do it alone. Present the challenge to your Father and ask for help. Will He solve the issue? Yes, he will. Will he solve it immediately? Maybe. Or maybe part of the test is an advanced course in patience. This much is sure. Contagious calm will happen to the degree that we turn to him. Well, thank you for listening. And I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.